Bam! We're recording. Hooray.
Just like that, live on the internet.
Not technically live, because we don't broadcast live. I guess if we did a Twitch thing, we could try this live, but...
Never mind. Well, I mean, live in the sense that we don't edit anything.
I kind of edit it. I gotta make a break where the thing... cuts and stuff.
Right, but you're not going in and like clipping anything out.
No.
Right.
It's basically like cut here, put the song here, cut here, put the song, and then end, and we're good.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you're not taking out any. That's hardly editing.
No, it's yeah, that's true. It's just cut here, cut here, cut here. All right, well, we actually got a fan message in our email. Should we read it now or read it after we do the geekings?
It's up to you.
Let's geek out first, and then we'll read the message, and then we'll do our topic.
Okay.
All right. Well, Brandon Chalmers, what are you geeking out about this week?
I was waiting for you to do the thing. Every week you do the thing. Like, I get that we have no real format to speak of or anything else like that, but God damn it, we're going to be consistent about something.
Yeah.
I'm geeking out about something that I think I've talked about this before. I'm not 100% sure, but as far as like content and watching YouTube, you and I are kind of live in relative similar grounds. We both like kind of awesomely bad reality TV in the sense of like hardworking people getting things accomplished. We both like really admire watching those things.
Mm-hmm.
So part of what I've been geeking out about is something I've been catching up on in what little free time I have. And I have been watching a thing called Hoonigans. I've went on about this.
Oh, yeah.
Eternally with some of the Art Fight guys, because I really admire all their brand and marketing and everything. But they've been doing this series called They first started doing a YouTube thing where they were following race car driver and rally cross driver Ken Block, who came from DC Shoes. So it was Ken Block and Rob Dyrdek, who was on the TV show Robin Big, and blah, 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 blah. So they start their own brand called Hoonigan. The idea is fanatics or hooligans to drive a car like a moron is to hoon it. Combine those two things together, Hoonigan. So they started this show called Daily Transmission, where every day they would put up something that they're doing at Hoonigan. Somebody shows up with their car. They want to start shredding tires. They want to do donuts. They want to go be idiots around the dock. And what it ended up morphing into is an actual network full of content. So in a year and a half, they've went from, I think, something like 5,000 or 6,000 YouTube subscribers to over 2 million.
Wow. And,
something like 5 or 6 shows on the regular. And instead of just doing a daily transmission every day where you don't know what it's going to be, now they're actually breaking it down. They're going, okay, so when they do an interview with a guy or gal and they're talking about their car and specifically like getting really nerded about it, they'll do one called Build Biology. Huh. If they're going to hang out in the yard and do stupid shit, they'll do an episode of Yard Party. If they're going to build something, which is the one that I've been really excited about, they do a show called Garage Garage, where they basically just come up with terrible ideas.
Like a Monster Garage, except without the racism?
Kind of, yeah. So the idea being that their main like fabricator guy is a guy that came from Formula Drift Racing. So he is looking to strip cars down, race them like crazy. Jamie, if you want to search this, search Coyote Kart. This guy, better known as Danger Dan. So he got famous on the internet for basically taking a Nissan Silvia body, stripping everything down off of it, building a tube chassis, putting an engine in it, and driving it around like a fucking moron. I don't know if anything came up or not. No? Okay. I'll have to find a link for it.
Oh, wait. I don't know how to spell.
So you should be looking for a green car that looks more like a tube frame chassis than anything else.
Oh, no. I got a website. What's it?
Okay.
No.
Don't search that. Yeah. Anyway, so the idea is they basically build stupid stuff. So they have a car that they bought, this old BMW that they bought for like $400. They called shit car, and it became such a like notable thing. They went to SEMA, which is a big national car show that happens in Las Vegas, and there were crews of people that would spend hundreds of thousands of dollars and hundreds of man hours making custom cars. And this beat up ratty BMW that was all dented and was painted up with spray paint had lines just 20 or 30 people deep to see this car and take pictures with this car.
Because it's all busted and stuff.
Because it's basically a YouTube star. Like, this thing was the kind of the spirit of Hoonigan. So I've been going back through watching Garage Garage as they now rehab what they call shit car.
Oh my God, so that's awesome.
If you want to go down a fun rabbit hole, I would say start watching Hoonigan, and maybe the best one to watch to kind of get an idea of what they're all about. If you search Hoonigan Scum Bug, they went out, they wanted to run the Baja 1000 as a chase car. They went and bought an old like 60s Baja Volkswagen Bug, like this lifted orange Volkswagen Bug, drove the thing down to Baja with little to no preparation and just kind of had an adventure with the thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's probably the best example of like them being them and having a really great time and just kind of the spirit of fuck it, drive it till the wheels fall off. And then when they fall off, tape them back on and just keep going.
Do the thing, drive around, have fun.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's something really kind of lovable about car guys who get excited when they break something just so that they can break something else.
Now I get to fix it.
It's not even the fix it thing. It's more of a, okay, well, we sent it really hard that time, so next time, not quite as hard. Like, I just love it. What was it, like a month ago or something like that? They had this kid in there in the yard, and he's got this, like, four-wheel drive, like, it's like a four-wheeler with a cage on it, and it's like a kids racing series or something like that where they race. I think they're called UTVs. And this kid's 9 years old, and he's riding around like a maniac, doing donuts, jumping off the dock, doing all sorts of silly shit. So there's a secondary video of them, this guy, Dan, the same one I was talking about earlier, teaching this kid how to drive stick shift for the first time. He's 9 years old. The first thing they teach him how to do are donuts in a stripped-down Mazda Miata that they turned into a go-kart. So you see this in-camera footage of this nine-year-old just dump the clutch, mash the gas, whip the wheel, and all of a sudden the thing just starts whipping around, and you see this kid, and he's just going, yeah, this is awesome! And he's like, God, I need more of this just purity in my life.
I'm spinning.
Yeah, and watching him like dump the clutch and then stop, and then all like just a crew full of the Hoonigan guys all just run at him screaming like, you did the thing.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's rad. So no bullshit, no stupid politics, none of that other stuff, just fun rompin' dumbness. So feel free, if you want to kill some time on YouTube, headphone wearers beware, loud cars make loud noises. Yeah, and some of them are like ridiculously loud, so much so that they'll actually warn you for headphone users when things are about to get loud.
Headphone users, take that shit off right now.
More of like headphone users beware, and they like flash a symbol on the screen like 8 or 9 times.
Your brain is gonna get blown away, mate.
But yeah, so highly recommend that as like fun background stuff if you do freelance, you work at home or whatever it is. So I fully expect Jamie to be like, dude, I watched the thing with the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool, man.
Yep. What have you been up to, man? What you geeking out?
Well, damn, man. September is all kinds of busy. There's like, there's Toku Tember.
Yeah.
I'm teaching a class this week. Well, I'm teaching a class starting this month. And then, you know, we got conventions at the Wazoo. So, this weekend is my favorite convention to go to. It's not as big as San Diego. I guess San Diego would be like my second favorite show to go to. But my first favorite, my home love, Small Press Expo, right here in the DMV, as our vernacular, as we say in our vernacular, the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. Small Press Expo. I fucking love it. It's in Bethesda. It's they like to call it it's in Rockville. They like to call it like Northern Bethesda, but
because Rockville wasn't hoity-toity enough?
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking Rockville. Like, I used to live literally across the street, and all of a sudden, our mail changed, our address changed from Rockville to, like, Northern Bethesda. I'm like, motherfucker, please, it's Rockville. Just we live in a strip mall. Just, you know, live it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, this is, like, my wife's family. They grew up originally in South Baltimore, and then all of a sudden it became Federal Hill.
Yeah.
No. And it was like, oh, okay, cool. So all the property value is going up, right? Yeah. On.
Fucking own it. Like, you live in Rockville, you know it's a big ass strip mall. You know it's Rockville Pike and like car dealerships and restaurants and stuff.
Shit.
I mean, that's true, but like you don't need to pump it up. But anyway, it's a great convention for if like a Comic-Con is too overwhelming, or like a Baltimore Comic-Con is too overwhelming. Small Press Expo still has a nice homey feel to it, like a small hotel convention, except that it's like huge now and it's chock full of people and it's crowded as hell. But like the energy in the room is so positive. And like, if you ever get to a point when you're feeling bad about your comics or feeling bad about your drawing or feeling bad about like just being a creator, going to Small Press Expo is a great way to just re-energize yourself and just get excited about doing stuff. Cause like you have wizened old guys who never wanted to do Marvel or DC comics, but like made their own roads and made their own way, you know, selling their stuff alongside with people who it's their first show and they're wide-eyed and they have no idea what's going on. And they're just like, I've got the zine that I stapled together last night and I'm here at Small Press Expo and I want you to read it. It's about my cat who throws up all the time, you know. And you find, like, a lot of weird gems of comics that you wouldn't necessarily find in your local comic book shop, unless your local comic book shop caters to, like, indie press or...
Yeah.
Works with like local creators and stuff. So it's just a really great time to hang out. And it's one of the most affordable cons to go to if you're an attendee. I think like a day pass for Saturday is like $15. And I think Sunday is like 10 or something like that.
Yeah, I do remember being really reasonable as far as attendance cost. But also bear in mind, unless they've changed it, it's the room,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe a panel room?
I think there are two or three panel rooms downstairs.
Is it now? Okay.
I've never had a chance to actually go to the panels.
And I've never actually heard of anyone going to the panels. I've always just heard them mentioned before in passing. And then they do, what, the Ignatz Awards, but that's by invite only, right?
No. Anyone can go and sit there and watch the awards.
Okay.
But it's all the, I think you have to apply for it. I don't know. I think, but all the creators vote on who wins the Ignatz. I never knew who's being nominated, except the one time Yuko and Ananth were like, and I was like, I know those two. I'm going to vote for them. But yeah, so the Ignatz Award is sort of like the Small Press Expo, like fancy award. And I say fancy in quotations because the award is a brick. You get a brick. Just a brick. Okay. It's not painted or anything like that. But yeah, it's a fun time hangout. A lot of my friends do the show now, so I get to see them. They all come in from out of town, and it's great. Like I always come back wanting to draw more comics from the show, which is awesome. Because sometimes, like when you're working by yourself and you're working at home and you don't interact with people on a regular basis, it can be kind of like, what the fuck am I doing this for?
Yeah.
And Small Press Expo is a great way to just commiserate with fellow cartoonists and just, you know, reconnect. So, yeah, I encourage all of you who aren't being rained out this weekend because Florence is going to be kicking her ass. If you have a chance, get your ass to Small Press Expo. Get inspired. hang out with other creators, most of them are willing to talk to you, even if you don't buy a thing. Like, I don't care if people buy stuff from me. If they just want to talk about comics, I'll just talk about comics all day. I would like to make money at the show. Don't get me wrong. I'm not there as a charity. But, like, you know, if people just want to hang out and talk about stuff, that's cool. I mean...
Yeah, I suppose. I will argue that that con probably has more of a you show up to buy things mentality than a lot of other conventions I've been to. Mm-hmm. You go with the express intent of picking up something, no matter what it is. I would say come prepared to buy something. Don't show up in cosplay expecting to just kind of like hang out all day and take photos on the lobby. It is not that con.
Yeah, you're right. It's more – it's got a
– It's got a very like – bookstore feel? No, that's not it, because bookstores let you meander or whatever it is.
Maybe like a craft show, but like a...
Yeah, a craft show I think is probably the best example of that. Like,
yeah.
you got in the car, you got up early, you got coffee, you went down, and you were like, okay, I am coming here to experience commerce. I'm going to support small business. I'm going to pick up something cool. Go in with an open mind, go in with a little bit of cash, and come out with some random stuff. Like, get a game plan together.
Yeah.
And you know, be willing to walk around and just kind of find things. You'll be amazed what you may just come across at some point along the way.
Yeah, I mean, I tell everyone who goes, you know, just hold on to your wallet because you're going to find something that you like.
Yeah.
You will find something. Like, last year I was sitting, there was a guy two tables down from us who had a like a Ranger comic, like a Pink Ranger, but the Ranger was a guy, and like it was all about... a Love Ranger comic, and I was like, this is me, I'm that target audience. I found it on the last day and I was kind of pissed because I was just like, why didn't I see this before? But like, I bought all their books, I bought their sticker. They didn't have a pin, but if they had a pin, I would have bought it. Oh, pins are big at Small Press Expo. Everybody has an enamel pin, so if you like collecting pins, go to the show.
It's also very much hipster con, so yes. If you are of that ilk, if you experience anxiety in large crowds, you are with your people. everyone is incredibly uncomfortable.
Yes.
No one will say, excuse me. Yeah. You're among your crew.
Yeah.
You know, clutch your purses tight and remember that the aisles are narrow. But commerce is in the air.
And the nice thing about the show being in the Rockville area is that there are so many different places to eat.
That is true.
So, like, I usually encourage people to come down, and then we usually take them to Iron Age.
Yes!
Because, actually, we should see what Grig is up to. What are you doing this weekend?
I am helping a one-term City Shinobi do some install stuff. I think we're putting in, like, ceiling fans and stuff. Like, yup.
Aww.
See? Yeah, that's right. Paying it forward. That's for all the bitches who didn't show up to my place when I moved in. Anyway, not that I'm bitter or anything.
I think I was busy...
You were totally fine. You're not the one I'm throwing shade at.
Okay. Well, I would have been there.
No, you're fine.
If I wasn't busy.
Continue on.
But yeah, Small Press Expo is this weekend. I will be there. Come out, hang out. I'll tell you where to go get some food.
God, I was going to say plenty of other art fighters, I believe. Our own Bear Mounts Expo, Michael Brocco, will be there. Is Ross Noah going to be there this weekend? Don't know if he's tabling or not.
I don't know. I haven't heard from Ross in ages.
Yeah, either way, like, check the list, because if you are an art fight friend, you probably are going to recognize quite a few people there. Go up, go see Jamie, and just be like, hey, Jamie, who else should I check out? I guarantee you can probably rattle off six names in that room, and then when you hit those six, ask that. Just find the nicest person and go, hey, who else should I check out? And they'll be like, oh, you should totally look at blah, blah, blah. And you'll go, oh, fucking rad, cool. And you could literally probably hopscotch your way around the room finding really cool creators from – like-minded people to yourself.
My tag partner, Chris Scott, General Storm Sketch, he's debuting his book at Small Press this weekend, so check him out.
What is that, Two-Ton Rock God, Volume 2?
I think it's Volume 2.
Yeah. I believe it's Volume 2.
Yeah, but he'll be there, so that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so make sure you come up and give him a big-ass high five.
It's going to be so good. I love Small Press Expo. It gives me hope for the future.
I love that you are so optimistic about that show. Yeah. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of that show, but I don't enjoy the crowd and the layout. Yeah. So,
well, I mean,
I'm a picky bitch. I think they should move to a slightly larger venue. But
yeah, I mean, there have been many calls for that in the couple of years.
There are a lot of things I love about that show, and I think everyone should go. It's a cheap enough show, you should absolutely go and experience it. So don't let my possible negativity hit you up there. And also, like, get out of the house. Like, this is going to be a place where you're going to drive down, you're away from the water, kids, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, Bethesda's kind of, you know, or Rockville is, there's no water near us.
There's no water near you. Yeah, like, go there, go buy some comics, and then come back home and spend the rest of the weekend, like, go Saturday, buy a bunch of comics, spend the rest of the day Sunday reading comics, hanging out, and watching the rainfall.
Oh, yeah, and the thing is, like, they're pretty affordable because it's all small press.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, people are selling zines for, like, $2 and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have definitely walked out of that place blowing less than $50 with a handful of comics.
Yeah, it's like a big-ass stack.
Yeah.
All right, so before we get into our main topic of the evening, we have an email.
Yay!
We have an email. This is great.
Letters.
We actually had it last week, but I didn't check the...
Okay, so
just got back from vacation. All right.
No, you should probably hold off on sending us anything topical that needs to be answered that week.
Yeah, exactly.
We might not be great about that.
Yeah. All right. So this email comes from Ray. I'm not giving out last names. And this is in reference to our new metal episode.
Oh shit.
So he says, guys, loved the latest podcast, Brandon, Slipknot. Slipknot will answer your new metal void. They are probably the only band I remember from forming in high school, 99, and now they are kings of the arena metal game today. There aren't very many other bands that I can remember that have their staying power. Give them a listen. They've been through the ringer, losing their bassist to a drug OD, and they came back just as strong. Their touring show is absolutely in-fucking-sane. Check YouTube for their live shows at Rock on the Range.
Jimmy, I'm having audio issues.
Oh.
Continue on.
Okay. Or Rock M Ring. You will not be disappointed.
What the fuck?
Non-new metal that's been in my groove. Whoa, what's going on?
There we go. Okay.
Okay. Non-new metal that's been in my groove recently... Eluviti, Scandinavian folk metal. Who knew flutes could be metal? Shinedown, baby metal. Baby metal is they're like a Japanese schoolgirls.
Yeah. Okay, so just to give me a quick recap here. Slipknot. I'm old fucking old school Slipknot. So
okay.
that's already my wheelhouse.
Okay.
I missed some of the other one. What was after Slipknot?
Oh, Eluviti, Scandinavian folk metal.
Okay. Any sort of Scandinavian folk metal. The only thing that I think I've actually heard is like Elven King and something else where like it's a lot of lutes and then all of a sudden it like starts tearing in. Yeah, and it can be kind of hit or miss. I'm not the biggest fan of the Cookie Monster metal, but that can be really fucking rad. What was that? Shinedown?
Yeah, we got Shinedown.
Okay, Shinedown's all right. Little more like current kind of like hard rock, I think would be the technical term for it, but I don't dislike it. What's the next one?
Let's see. Next, Baby Metal.
Baby Metal's rad.
Godsmack has a new album that isn't like their older stuff and is interesting as fuck.
Okay. So I've got a real like... I have to admit a weird thing with Godsmack. So
okay.
I have seen Godsmack accidentally 3 times.
God is trying to tell you something, Brandon.
I look, and here's the thing: is like the first 2 times were like super duper accidental. Like I went to go see Black Sabbath. This is when they first came out. They were the opening band.
Huh.
I didn't expect to actually catch them. They were fucking great live.
Nice.
I then went to an HF festival, wasn't aware how things were going to go, sat through Audio Slave when they first showed up, which was not very good live.
Oh,
which made me really sad.
Yeah,
because I'm a huge Rage Against the Machine fan.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So that was not great. Sat through Jane's Addiction, they were fucking terrible.
Oof.
And was debating leaving, and then all of a sudden Godsmack showed up and fuck, are they good live? Like, I don't know why they sound that good live. I don't really enjoy them that much.
Huh.
Like the song Whatever, the first one that they released is like the single way back when I was like, I think, a freshman in high school. Mm-hmm. Still kind of a jam. I get that, but I have a nostalgia factor for it. That fucking band's great live. If you ever get a chance to like go to a festival and you're like, eh, Godsmack, I don't know, hang out. You'll be surprised.
That sounds really awesome. Surprised.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. Let's see. There's more. We got more.
Okay. What else?
Hailstorm, Amaranth, and In This Moment are three female lead metal groups that also have been rocking my face.
Amaranth, I've never heard of. Hailstorm, I didn't really like the new one. In This Moment's fucking rad.
Yeah.
Jamie For You, the song Forever, I believe is the name of it, is a total jam that has the balls to end with a fucking shredding solo.
Okay.
Which
I'm
needs
there.
To happen way more.
I'm there. I'm fucking there. I'm already there.
Yeah.
He ends, I'm also on the same page with Brandon on social media, but I don't think I have the willpower to delete it from my phone. It's the only way I can keep in touch with all my friends and family across the country. That's no excuse for checking it every 5 minutes like I've been doing for the past year. I've somehow been able to cut back posting stupid shit on Facebook, so that's a start at least. Best of luck on your cleanse. Hopefully I can get there myself one day. Ray.
Sir, can I make a suggestion to you? If you still want to hang out with your friends, delete all of the celebrity accounts that you follow.
Oh, yeah.
Just cut it out. We're all guilty of it. We're like, hey, what's Dwayne Johnson up to? You don't need to know what Dwayne Johnson's up to. Like, you don't, you like a band? Cool. Buy their thing.
Yeah.
You don't need to tell them what, you know, you don't need to find out what they're doing on a Thursday. Like, and the reality is no good comes of what they're saying. Like, I hate to say it that way, but like, let U2 or Pearl Jam be kind of a barometer. Bands that you can really enjoy can even say some really poignant things, especially in the case of Pearl Jam. I don't need to hear Eddie Vedder go on and on. I really don't. Like, I love Pearl Jam, but goddamn. Like, sometimes I just want to be like, could you just shut the fuck up and play Even Flow? Because that would swell. Yeah, and like, that's modern day Joe Cocker. That's what I'm saying. Watch old school videos of Joe Cocker when he sings. Watch modern day. Right, and then watch Eddie Vedder. He does that weird contortion thing with his body. And anyway, so do that thing.
All right, well, thank you, Ray.
Thanks, Ray.
And if you email us, I will get to it eventually and we'll put it on the air.
And just a reminder to everybody, I have not, as I show everyone my phone once again, I have not put Twitter and Facebook back on my phone.
Nice.
So
nice.
I am steadfast in that. So if you've been DMing me on Twitter, I will emails. I'll say that much. I will log into the website and reply to you if for some reason you feel the need. Facebook Messenger, I still have on there.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if you want to get a hold of me, I'm easy to get a hold of. And maybe that would be a solution for you as well, Ray, is set up the notifications for DMs in your email and hang on to Facebook Messenger. It'll keep you from checking your phone all the time, but everybody will still be able to get a hold of you.
Cool. My cat is just attacking me, so I've been kind of giving,
cat's gonna cat.
Giving
cat's
him gonna... my sweater string.
Oh, so you've been encouraging him.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, funny thing, today's topic is social media. Brandon Chalmers. we've kind of danced around this topic for the past two ones. I figure it's interesting that we had it on our list of things that we want to be better,
yeah,
or to unfuck itself. So let's let's get into it.
Okay.
I guess I don't know. Do we do a shit sandwich like? This is why social media is good. This is why it sucks. This is why it could be good.
I don't think we need to explain it. I think the idea is we just kind of list off some of the things that I think would make an improvement to a current social media thing.
Okay.
I think they're all relatively designed the same way.
Yeah, pretty much. They're all designed by libertarians who just build a platform and let you run wild, and they just hands off.
Okay. All right. So
that's why all these tech people don't give a shit when like. You know, racist stuff appears on their platforms or like fake news appears on their platforms because from their perspective, they're just like, we provide this platform. We allow this to happen. How people use it is up to them.
No, I mean, and I guess I can understand the argument that to them, the rant about your cat is probably as poignant as the flat earther.
Right. Right. And that's why all these tech people, you know, when Zuckerberg went up in front of Congress, that's why it was like, you know, Congress was speaking one language, he's speaking another, because from his perspective, you know, he doesn't get why this is a problem.
Well, I think he does get why it's a problem. I think the question is, why should he have to deal with it? And when he's taking on Congress, he's talking with a bunch of people who also don't understand what the fuck they're talking about because they don't have the experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And no discredit to any one of them. I just don't think that if you didn't grow up with a form of social media, I think you have trouble connecting to it.
Yeah.
Like, I think you have trouble grasping it. I think you have trouble kind of wrapping your head around it. And I'm sure there are outliers and somebody's going, yeah, fuck you, I'm in my 50s and I know, you know, I understand social media probably better than you. You probably do. But I think as a whole, I think we can basically say that, you know, you get anything older than maybe Gen X and you start to lose a connect with kind of the anonymity of social media and the desire for it and what have you.
Yeah. Well, Grig, our friend that we'll just put Grig on the fucking podcast.
We really should.
But
he's been on the R5 podcast and That's Cool podcast as well. So yeah. I've talked to him a bunch.
He said that there's always been this tribalistic tendency from old IRC days to just being in a neighborhood to, you know, just growing up. So all of this has been, I mean, all the problems that we're seeing now with media and news and social media is like, it's not new. It's just, I guess, kind of amplified now because it's everywhere.
Right. Well, I think that, okay, so let's tackle a couple things here.
Okay.
I don't hold social media, and this is me speaking personally. Do I wish that certain platforms would edit things that probably shouldn't be appropriate in modern society, like, let's say, supporting fucking Nazis? Right. Yeah, I do. I understand it's a slippery slope. I don't care. I think we can all get behind Nazis. Like banning Nazis. I don't think that's much of an argument to be had here.
We fought a war for that. So
that's where my head is, too. I understand there's an argument to be made about free speech and blah. Okay. So let's take that out of the equation and let's just say I don't think that a social media company needs to be responsible for editing content. I think they can police people for aggressive behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can suspend people. But again, you get into a slippery slope of where are you at? Mob mentality rules. You're not going to be able to undo that. And I think the real question that would lie there, and I don't think, Jamie, you and I are going to be able to tackle it today, is should they be getting involved in the policing or not?
That's a good question.
I think you go down a rabbit hole of arguments for and against, and I'm sure I could pick a side one way or the other, but I don't think it actually improves social media at that point.
Yeah.
Editing the content that way and kind of limiting people's ability to post things or what they should post or whatever it is, I think is its own negative in and of itself. We're here to the core of this idea is improve it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to focus on things that we can implement to current social media platforms to make them a more enjoyable experience as a whole.
Okay.
Okay. So first one I think I want to tackle is the aggregate timeline.
Oh, yeah.
Could we please fucking stop?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I'm fine with ads, and I'm going to go on record as when there was that, I forget what the fucking name of it was, started with a V, and it was a flash in the pan. It was like a social media network that started up like a few months ago, and everybody signed up for it, and it was supposed to be almost like a paid service.
Oh, and yeah.
Crashing hard.
Yeah.
I think because the creator did something, or I can't remember all the specifics, but all I know is it's not around anymore. At least I assume it's not around anymore because nobody's fucking talking about it anymore.
Yeah.
And it broached an interesting topic with me, which is would I be willing to pay for social media the way I do TV content or internet content or whatever it is? And I think I would.
Hmm. Interesting.
I think if I'm able to control what it is and I'm able to cut down on the amount of ads that happen, I think I would be willing to do it.
Interesting.
Like, think about it this way. Facebook controls the way that you see your timeline, right?
Correct.
Based off of friends and likes and basically revenue income and also of, you know, who's getting more likes and whatever it is. And there's a whole algorithm that changes constantly. And as somebody who is one part of a business who's tried to buy Facebook ads, it's fucking voodoo.
Yeah.
It is straight up voodoo. Yeah. Nobody knows how it works.
Yeah.
Anybody who tells you they do is lying. Just flat out fight me. I'm genuinely saying, drag me out back and go 10 rounds with me. You're a liar. Nobody knows how that shit works. They change it constantly.
Yeah, friend of the show, Johnny Shyrock. Johnny Shryock. Oh my God, he's going to punch me in the dick because I mispronounced his name. Johnny Shryock paid a consultant to teach him about SEO once. And I didn't want to laugh at him. And he came back to me and he was like, yeah, that was fucking useless.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like that person probably wrapped their head around it as much as possible, and you still walk away going, "The fuck did I just pay for?"
Yeah,
that's the epitome of paying for social media advertising.
Yeah.
I put a bunch of money into it. I don't know what the fuck I just paid for.
Yeah, exactly.
But I know this is the only way to reach these people, so I got to play the game.
I'd
be willing to pay.
I like tackling the algorithm.
I
would want to get rid of the algorithm because.
Right. But I'm saying there has to be a trade-off here.
Right.
I have to acknowledge that they're a company.
Mm-hmm.
And one part of what they're doing is they're selling my data. Okay.
Right.
I've mentally become acceptant of that. Everybody's fucking doing it at this point. I can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Fine. Can we fucking start editing down and like, can I get a raw version of it from Twitter or Facebook or Instagram? And I'm sure they say that you can see everything if you just continue scrolling. I don't necessarily know if it's actually true or not. I genuinely don't think it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, I would be willing. And I know they're listening because they turn all the fucking microphones on. Facebook, I'll pay. Like, start me off $5 a month. I get a genuine timeline feed.
Yeah.
Based off of when people post things, absolutely everyone that I have as a friend that I have that I follow or whatever I need to opt into, and I want them chronologically put in order.
Mm-hmm.
I'll scroll through and I'll find the ones that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
If you want to give me an edited one based on popularity or something, tell me how I'm sorting it and then give me that option.
Yeah, there should be an obvious tab for that, not like a hidden drop down thing that says like
something just based on like popularity or most liked or something like that, and like the friends that you most like, it sorts them that way. Then you know they're keeping track of that data.
Yeah,
they just, you click that button, and if I like Jamie's stuff more than I like other people's, Jamie's stuff's going to go up to the top instead of mixing them all together and making it some sort of question as to, you know, the most recent versus your timeline or whatever it is. Timeline's a fucking vague statement.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pay. Genuinely, I'll give you my money. You're going to make more off of me by doing this because I will gladly just pay you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it where it's not like Netflix. One payment per email address. No shared accounts, no anything. My Facebook account is registered with my name. I pay. Done and done. That's mm-hmm. it. $5 a month. You get your money PayPal to you or however it is, credit deposited to you. It's guaranteed income for you. I'm not clicking your fucking ads. I'm not. I'm telling you right now, I'm not clicking your Facebook ads. I know I'm not. You know I'm not. Stop bothering.
Yeah.
Collect my money. Sell my data like you're going to anyway. Get a guaranteed paycheck as an option.
And give you like a no-nonsense, not curated, just a straight up.
Let me control timeline. How I see my timeline.
Yeah.
Just even if it's just the one, like just the statement of $5 a month and you can see your timeline in genuine chronological order and it'll scroll through and you can scroll as long as you want. And it'll pull everything together in chronological order.
I mean, it does allow you to.
But it'll stop.
Yeah.
When you scroll down, you'll get to a point where it's like, nope, no more. And it was like, the fuck?
Yeah, and also, like, I usually try to put it on most recent, but Facebook will automatically put it back to top stories.
Right.
Yeah, and I think Twitter's doing that shit too now.
Twitter's doing that shit too, right. And there are third-party clients that you can use. I was using Tweetbot for a while, but they also nerfed Tweetbot to now where they won't let it refresh in real time. It'll refresh, like, I think every minute or two now, and it'll still let it do its thing, and it'll actually put it in chronological order, but, like, you got to play the game. So as silly as it sounds, one of my favorite things to do was like live tweet pro wrestling events.
Yeah.
I can't do that now and see everybody's posts unless I play the game of downloading the Twitter app. The Twitter app sucks. And I let them cultivate my timeline. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I'm watching a thing in real time. The point of Twitter is things happening in real time.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, like, all of these systems, all of these platforms, when they were incepted, that's what they did.
Well, of course.
It's only now because, like, you know, when Google started to curate your search results. Like, I remember when the internet was, you know, through the fucking phone line, like, you would use a search engine and you would find random shit. You would look up something and you would find weird, funny, weird now, shit when you were looking for stuff. You can't do that now because the algorithm thinks for you.
But hang on a second. You can do that. You can turn on an incognito window, and you can do that. You have that option. And I prefer a Google to do something like that. If I don't want random pictures of whatever it is and I've been searching for something else, I would rather be able to find the thing that I'm looking for. I don't necessarily mind Google figuring out what it is. I think there are places for this, but I get the option to opt out. I can turn on an incognito window. I can turn on, you know, I can switch Safari to one of those black windows, and I can search whatever I'd like and have it pull from whatever their algorithm is, I guess, based on all Safari users or Safari users in my area or however they do it. Yeah. But, like, I know it's not the same. Like, if you Google the same thing with two separate windows, you're going to get two different style results. Hmm. I know it's making a difference. I want that sort of experience with my social media. I want to be able to actually see the thing.
Yeah, like everything.
I don't like this saccharine sweet version. You know, fuck it. It goes back to everything. Stop putting fucking ketchup on everything. I don't need to see the fucking sweet version of everything. I don't. Stop it. Like, let me enjoy the bitter shit. Let me enjoy the sour shit. Like, let me experience the stuff in real time. I want to know what a fucking hot dog tastes like. I don't want to know what a hot dog tastes like if it's based in fucking tomato paste filled with sugar. Mm-hmm. I don't want it.
Is that so? Well, we don't use Snapchat because we're old. But do you think Snapchat answers that? Because, like, the things you post on Snapchat disappear. So you have to, I don't know how it works.
Yeah, but then I don't get to really share that with anybody else that I'm friends with.
That's true.
And I don't get to have those interactions the way I would with other people.
Yeah.
Like, you post up something funny, you see a meme that you like. If I saw it in my chronological timeline and Greg makes a joke and Marty makes a joke and I get to make a joke, I feel like I'm part of a conversation. Whether I picked up 2 days later because I'm still scrolling through my timeline, or whether I picked up 2 minutes later because I just happened to see a pop up.
Yeah.
I like being part of that back and forth. Mm-hmm. I feel included in it. I think it's the core of social media is getting everyone involved in a conversation.
Right.
I'm good with that. I just want to be able to decide when and where I see things. And I'm not an idiot, and I understand that businesses need to make money, which is why I double back to, I'll fucking pay for it. You got what you wanted. This is what the movie companies have been begging about. This is what TV companies have been begging about. I'll pay for content. I'm at that point. For the record, if anybody's trying to figure out what age it is that you start, that you stop torrenting things and you start actually buying things, it's about 31. Like, that's kind of the Mason-Dixon line of responsibility versus effort.
So essentially, they've made it so shitty for you that you're willing to slap down money.
I'm going to throw money at it. I'm willing to throw money at it. And I know it's a first world solution for everything, but social media is a first world problem. So fuck it.
But you said that, but you just said that like there was a social media thing that was essentially that, like you had to pay for it and it died on the vine.
Well, okay. One, because it's a whole new social media platform.
Okay.
What happened when, what the fuck was the Google one that came out?
Google Plus.
Okay. When Google Plus came out, Google is a gigantic company with a ton of infrastructure and a ton of following and is relatively trusted in a lot of circles. And we all saw it and we all signed up for it and immediately went, this is going to fucking fail. Why? Because we didn't put the effort into it? Because there was already Twitter that worked, there was already Instagram, there was already Facebook. Like,
yeah,
Instagram answered the question of, what if we just shared photos? Mm-hmm. Snapchat asked the questions, what if we just shared photos with specific people?
Yeah.
Each social media has to answer a specific question. There's not going to be a version of Facebook that's going to be a one-for-one competitor. It's not a WWF, WCW. It's not social media for social media. It's answering a niche thing. Twitter and Facebook are two very different things. They have to be.
Right. So you would buy into Facebook if they did sort of like a Facebook Prime thing.
Yeah.
Where
Facebook Pro, whatever you want to call it, like Paybook. I don't give a fuck what you call it. Like, right. I'm saying, give me like, take a big company that I already know is already winning. Facebook's going to win this battle.
Right.
Obviously, they're going to buy out their competition. They did it with Instagram. They did it with, I think they bought Snapchat. Am I mistaken?
I don't know.
Anyway, they're buying up fucking everything.
Yeah.
And that's the point is, I understand that your Amazons and your Facebooks are going to win. That's a whole nother fucking argument. I hear somebody going, but why should they have to? Different argument. The point being is that they're buying up everything. I'm accepting it. I'm basically doing what everyone shouldn't fucking do. And they're just making the best of a shit situation. But at this point now, like I can't change social media. I don't have the wherewithal, the means, the capability, the knowledge, basically anything. I just know what has been bothering me the most about social media.
Yeah.
It's that timeline. It's not being able to see things and not being able to really talk to my friends. And I feel like there's part of this world I'm missing.
Yeah.
And it's why I continue to check. To Ray's point, he continues to check because he feels like he's afraid he's going to miss something.
Yeah, the FOMO.
Right. And if Facebook is deciding what you're seeing and what you're not, that fear is real.
Because mm-hmm. you're missing out anyway. Because
right.
you're seeing what the algorithm is telling you.
Right, yeah, and it's based on popularity and how much you post or whatever it is. So unless the people that you're most interested in are fucking addicted to it too and are posting like crazy, you're not going to see them.
Yeah. So you're mostly unplugged.
I'm unplugged to a point because I got really frustrated with everything, but that's not the metric of social media that's really the problem. It's the content of social media that's the problem.
But do you feel like you're missing out now that you're not constantly being bombarded with shit?
For lack of a better term. No, I know I am missing out on fun shit happening on Twitter.
Okay.
I know I am. I know I'm missing out on the one-liners and the quips and the fun jokes and the memes and the social commentary on everything. And on the other hand, I don't get aggravated by the quips, by the one-liners, by the shared tweets, by the retweets of terrible things. Like it's the old thing of like you watch the news.
Yes.
And the news makes you angry.
Yes.
And why do you watch the news? Because you want to be informed.
Right.
But the news makes you angry. Sure. Like it's an abusive relationship that I think we all have with social media. It's we basically wander about through this internet wasteland waiting to get triggered by something.
Well, I found it to be extremely useful for my business.
Yeah, and that's absolutely.
And that's the way I leverage social media.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. I think
it's a necessary evil. Like, I feel guilty not being on social media, just sharing this when you tweet it.
Yeah.
Or when you post it on Facebook. Like, if I happen to notice it on the random time that I check Facebook, yeah, obviously I'll share it. But, like, I'm not getting involved with that part. And then in turn, I'm not contributing to something that I am a part of, something that I care about in the sense of doing a project with you, and therefore I'm not doing my part of it. So in turn, even by not participating for my own sanity's sake, I'm still feeling guilty for not being involved in the thing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it again, it goes back to the abusive relationship. Why do I do the thing? Well, because it makes me feel better. If it doesn't make you feel better, why are you doing the thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's
you're
true.
Doing it so that you can help get paid. I understand that.
Yeah.
I don't do social media for Super Art Fight either.
Well, yeah, I mean.
But that's the trade-off, though, is like, if I was that person, I would need to be on it. I can't let my anger over certain things or my lack of enjoyment of certain things cloud my judgment of the business needs to gain fans, to gain followers, to be able to get us to do shows so that we can see other people, so that we can travel around and we can do the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I understand it's an end to means that everyone has to do. And I'm not hating on that. Like I said, to go back to my whole thing, I'll pay.
Right.
I'm even okay with some ads. Just tell me what's going on. Like, let me know what the trade-off is. When you paid for the first version of Hulu, you paid $8 a month for Hulu. You got to watch the stuff, but you had to watch some TV ads.
Yeah.
And it was a little annoying, but you were like, fuck it. This is kind of okay. I'm good with this. I get to see stuff in relative real time. I'm cool with this. I want Hulu, but for social media.
The Hulu of social media.
Right.
So the timeline aggravates you. What are the... Because that can't be the only thing that pushed you away.
No. And that's where we get into some of the other stuff, is then we get into seeing people post content, things that I disagree with. And a lot of it, and I assume I'm not the only one responsible, like, who it goes through this. We have friends and family members that believe or say things that we absolutely disagree with, and we care about them, and therefore we tolerate them. But every so often, I see a post and I'm like, I want to fucking throttle this person. And I go back to my argument of, you don't win arguments on the internet. And my immediate response in my brain is, I don't care. I'm not interested in winning an argument. I'm interested in calling this person a fucking idiot.
You want to fight.
I want to hurt someone. Like, and that's the thing, is like, the internet has become a bar where
yeah, that's true.
Like, and I forget what there was a show who made this comparison. I forget what it was. I think it may have been Adam Ruins Everything, where he talked about the internet basically being a bar where all it does is overserve people and then give them a platform to start sharing their terrible views with everyone else.
Yeah.
And it thrives on chaos.
It does.
The more people drink, the more money it makes, the more chaos, the more people show up to then go and comment on other chaos.
So someone you know posts something fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Have you ever called up that person to say, hey, did you really mean this dumb fucking thing that you posted? Or are you just being in the moment? Or
I have DM'd them about that, and it usually turns into a gigantic argument.
Yeah. So,
because the response from them is usually, if you don't like what I have to say, unfollow me or just ignore it.
Wow.
I'm allowed to say whatever I want. And you're right. That is true. You have the right to post whatever the fuck you please. These things aren't without consequence, but that's a whole nother argument.
Yeah. So I hate talking on the phone, but like, I think there's a difference between like a message, a text message, because you can read a lot of shit into it, because people usually don't type the way they speak or you know, type the way they articulate.
Right.
Have you ever like just called them up to say, hey, let's talk this out, or did you just leave it at the message?
No, I have done that, yeah. And it went poorly.
It's always gone bad.
Well, And here's the thing, and the argument may be made that all the common denominator in all of my shitty experiences is me, and that's not an untrue statement. But usually it's like, okay, so prime example, and I don't care because I've already burned this bridge well and beyond whatever it is.
Okay.
So way back when the Freddie Gray thing happened.
Yeah.
Okay. So for anyone not involved, please fucking Google that. I assume you haven't been living under a rock and you understand what happened in Baltimore with Freddie Gray.
Yeah.
So in turn, I have an uncle who ended up posting up something and used the term animals.
Ooh.
Now, this is when there were people who were looting and breaking property and were lashing out based on what they were seeing and the reactions of things. And there's a whole respectful conversation to be had about whether or not their behavior was appropriate, and not to say that it wasn't merited, not to say that they had no right to be upset or anything else like that. And I don't want to get into that because I think I would probably agree with most of the people who would take offense to that whole thought process. My issue is strictly a, let's not pretend you don't understand the connotation of that word with that group of people.
Yeah.
And when I buzzed them and I shot them a DM on Facebook and I said, the words you're using are incredibly inappropriate and hateful. I really suggest that you change them.
Yeah.
Not that you change your content, that you change the wording.
Yeah.
I think that word is going to get you some negative response.
Oh, yeah, because it sounds incredibly racist.
It absolutely sounds incredibly racist. And when I got the response from them, the response was, I don't know what the problem is. They're acting like animals, and I'm going to call them that.
Fuck.
If you have an issue with it, and again, it goes back to the same thing I've heard. If you have an issue with it, just don't read it or just unfollow me.
Jesus Christ, man.
I called them, and I said to that uncle, I understand you're upset, and I understand that you're probably catching some flack for this. I see it in the comments. I'm saying in no uncertain terms, the term animals sounds racist. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that of your character. I really think you should take it and change it. I was laughed at and said, I'm not racist. Fucking stop bothering me. And hung up the phone. And I went, okay, cool. So when someone else called them racist, I like the comment. And all of a sudden, World War III opened. Now, understand, me liking that comment, did I need to do that? No, I did not. Was that me picking a fight? A little bit. Probably a little more than a little bit. Probably more like this than necessarily like this. But fuck it, I've said my piece at this point.
Yeah.
When I end up getting a phone call from this uncle and my dad in one of those classic three-way phone calls, which, by the way, if you're calling the parent of somebody to call them, you're hoping someone's going to yell at you. Like, that's the idea is, oh, this motherfucker right here, I'm going to call your dad, and your dad and I are going to set you straight I guess not racist the term animals is when African-American people are rioting, but no, fuck it, I forgot. You're all white guys. You're 100% right all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Jesus. Fucking white people ruin everything. Anyway, so
oh my god,
we are per capita and per experience the fucking worst. Like, if any indigenous people through any point of time have any sort of rule, don't tell the white guy. Like, just whatever the fuck it is, I don't care what it is, corn, city of gold, Alvira, tequila, fucking every, like, stop telling white people. Just, it will end poorly for you. We're awful, like, just by nature. I don't know why, but inherently, per capita, we're terrible. There's some outliers. I hope I fall in that outlier category.
Well,
but on the whole, we're fucking bad. Just bad.
Well, even though all of these experiences were terrible, the upside is social media has allowed you to ferret out the racists in your family, so...
But, Jamie!
Is that a plus?
Let's not pretend here. When my dad and my uncle called me, you think I didn't know how they felt? Or do you think I was like Thanksgiving level tolerant of some of their Glenn Beck style comments?
Oh, like, my God.
Let's not pretend here. You know the friends that you lightly associate with that are a problem.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what people you're going to bring around where. Yeah. You know if you invite somebody and someone else shows up, your asshole puckers up because you're basically a shot clock over your head to find out what sort of, like, Dixie-level bullshit you're about to experience.
Yeah. It's true. You don't actually need social media to ferret that kind of stuff out.
No, you don't.
You know, way before.
Everyone has a fucking radar. Like, everyone has spider sense about racism.
Yeah.
Whether you are for racism or against racism, you fucking have a spider sense. We can spot those people. Oh, and yeah. I know it sounds terrible. We all use stereotypes about it because, luckily, in most cases, racism is pretty good at stereotyping their own shit. If you're waving a rebel flag around, there's a good chance you're a racist cunt. Like, just, there's no way. Like, I don't really need you to then call somebody the N-word. I can do that math. I really can. If you're defending, like, the flag and Southern statues and whatever it is,
yeah.
There's a good chance that I'm not going to celebrate, I don't know, a soul food festival with you. Or enjoy the music of a fucking Parliament Funkadelic. Like, there's a good chance George Clinton is not in your fucking, like, wheelhouse. It's not happening.
Yeah.
George Strait, sure. George Clinton, no. Like,
George Thorogood, maybe.
Thorogood, maybe? Yeah, there's a possibility there. But, like, yeah, there on the sliding George scale,
yeah.
you're more straight than Clinton.
Thorogood is kind of in the middle, like, maybe, yeah. But maybe.
So, like, that's the whole thing. I don't need social media to tell me that.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying I'd like to go back to the one thing that I genuinely think would change everything. At least for me, as far as cultivating my experience online, if I can see it in order.
Yeah.
If I see everything in order, I can make an educated decision about who I want to talk to, who I want to unfollow. You really want to get specific about it? Can I have a separate section of people that I'm friends with and it'll show that I saw their posts, but I did never actually see their posts? Like, if Facebook could have a thing where, like, I could have a search function where I'm hanging out with somebody who I barely hang out with and they go, oh, did you see my post last Thursday? And I just type in their name and it brings up their most popular post.
Uh-huh.
That'd be great.
Oh, that's the other thing. Like, the search features are kind of useless. Like,
they're total garbage.
Yeah. I mean, you can search a name, but that's not usually what you're looking for. You're usually looking for, like, a status update or somebody, like, so-and-so said a thing. Yeah. Like, they need...
I feel like I have to navigate the maze and fight the Minotaur to be able to see what you end up posting.
It's a raid. Like, you have to raid the social media to find the specific post.
I don't want to do the thing. I don't want to do it in Destiny. I don't want to do – like, again, I go back to the I'll pay for the fucking gun.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'll pay for it. It's fine. Like, hey, you and six friends could get together and spend 4.5 hours playing for the experience and everything else like that. Or
you get the clan engram.
You could pay $10 now, and I'll give you a box that has a 1 in 10 chance of the thing.
Oh, but the raid is so fun. They're so fun.
You can say that, and I've only gotten through one of them, and fun I don't think would be the describing word for it.
That was fun.
Okay. And this goes back to the you enjoy SPX. I do not.
That's true.
We all experience differently. We experience things differently. I get that.
That's very true.
But much like SPX, for those of us who really have social anxiety or don't want to go, list a full thing of creators. You can just go through and Google all their names and buy their shit online if you really want to.
That's true.
The important thing is supporting small creators.
Yeah.
And that's where my head is. I want to be able to have that fast track option. I want to be able to pay my way through it. This is how society works anyway, right?
Yeah.
If you're willing to pay for it, you can get the thing you want.
That's
right.
That's interesting.
Why do I have to dick around and stroke everybody off these days? Why? Yeah. Why can't I pay for the thing?
YouTube's done that. Like, they have a YouTube Red. Twitch has a thing where you can pay directly to creators that you watch.
Okay.
And you get bonuses and stuff. I wonder why Facebook and Twitter haven't put up that option. I mean, they're going to get...
Twitter won't do it because...
Yeah.
They're going to stand by their altruism, but, like, I think Facebook would, and I'd love to pay them for it. Just a very clean setup. I don't mind their interface. I get that they're evil. I'm fine with it. I've accepted that part of it. Just fucking let me pay so that I can see all the things and I can decide what I want and what I don't want. If I don't want to see my cousin Jim's posts about his, I don't know, Renfest costume, fine. I can unfollow Jim. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. Let that be my choice. I'll give you the money. Let me decide who I do and don't want to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I decide I want to opt out, I'll sign the terms of service agreement where I have to buy 6 months at a time. Fuck it. Get your money out of me. I'm good with that.
That's interesting. I wonder how many other people would... I mean, they would get shit
out
the wazoo. But, like, I wonder how many people would be like, you know what? I think we should pay for this.
Realistically, though, like, let me ask you, Jamie. Would you be willing to pay $5 a month to be able to see absolutely everything in a genuine chronological time?
See, I wouldn't.
Okay.
But it's mostly because I don't give a shit.
Right, like,
I look at this as like a toy. So like, right. I look at social media as like a little toy that you kick around and you play with and stuff. So I don't get as worked up about it as other people do. So
right, but I have to believe in my heart of hearts there are other people who actually want to see what their family members or their friends are really up to.
Yeah. I think you might have something here.
I think for a guy like was Ray who we got the email from?
Yeah, Ray.
Right. I think Ray may be one of those guys where he may be willing to pay for a cultivated version of everything. He's afraid of missing something. Let's let him see everything.
Yeah.
And let's not pretend that Facebook isn't a business anymore. Let's stop pretending that social media is the Wild Wild West. Let's start realizing that it's a business, that it's a business that's going to make money, that we know that they're already selling our data. Let's not pretend that. We know they're selling ads. Fine. Let me – you know, fuck it. Leave the content exactly the same in the sense of ads and whatever it is. Let me just be able to choose how I see my timeline. I'll fucking pay for it. And I can guarantee I'm not going to be the only one.
Yeah. And
what's the problem with offering it? And some people may decide they don't want to opt into it.
Yeah, and give you tools that are fucking easy to understand because, like, it's crazy. Because I think they have these – and I'm putting heavy quotes. They have these options available to you, but you have to dig through, like, dark patterns that the designers use to force you to do.
Fuck
like,
that. It's
fucking –
yeah. Here's the thing. Like, imagine you're 65 and you didn't grow up with social media. And a computer is something that you didn't really start picking up until about 30 years ago. Imagine trying to go through and see all of your family or friends' posts or everything else like that and realizing that you missed an event because somebody posted up something and you didn't see it.
Yeah.
How frustrating does that have to be?
Yeah.
Let's call a spade a spade. Let's introduce Facebook Silver. For a cultivated experience where you can pay up front for baby boomers that shows you fucking everything for $5 a month. They've got the income. You've got the capability.
Yeah.
Lump me in with the fucking old people. It's fine. I'll pay for it.
I like that. Facebook Silver. That's like
Facebook Silver. Right. It's a Facebook experience for the people who really are going to use Facebook. They're not going to Twitter.
Yeah.
They're not. Your in-laws, they're not going to Twitter. You know what they're doing? They want to catch up with some family and see some other vacation photos. They want to see some photos or video you post up of their grandkids. And that's what they want to see. They don't want to miss anything. If they found out that they missed an experience or an opportunity or whatever it is for a friend, they'd be annoyed about it. Mm-hmm. I think they'd be willing to put out a little income to be able to just kind of have it happen. Hey, you paid this thing and you don't have to think about it and it's already right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. We'll see. I think if of the platforms to do it, I think Facebook might consider it. I don't think they will do it though because we are the product that they are selling.
Right.
And they actually don't give a shit about us.
No, of course not.
But I like the idea. And I don't know. I think there's a merit to it and I think people would be willing to do it.
And much like in certain situations, lie to me. Tell me I'm important. Do the thing. Like, give me the option. Take my money. Like, because the thing I can't figure out about my suggestion, how do they lose money?
Exactly.
I can't think of one way, like, if they don't take away the amount of ads on the sides or in the feed, and they don't, like, you know, they're still showing all of their content. I'm still clicking on everything. They're still selling my data. How are they losing revenue?
Yeah.
And if they're not losing revenue and they're only gaining revenue with an upfront setup thing of something they've already done, what are you realistically losing? Like, I have to be, I have to believe that the time that you would spend getting coders and what have you to actually be able to set up this service would offset itself in days of income. Yeah,
I mean, it might take like a couple months to figure out how to implement it, but I think, I mean, it's free money.
It's
bonus money.
Right. I mean, I have to believe that as a company, they can weigh the pros and the cons, and they have to acknowledge that their clientele is getting older and they're becoming less tolerant of these things. I think we'd all like to have a more clear-cut, transparent version of social media.
Yeah.
I think you just give us more of what we already want. Stop fucking cultivating it.
Yeah.
I'll pay for it. Stop fucking cultivating
it. Turn off the algorithm, put the real timeline in there.
I'll pay for fucking Facebook if you stop fucking with my timeline. Okay? Okay? Okay.
All right. Well, I think it's an interesting idea to put out there. I think getting rid of the algorithm is a great idea. And if you have to pay for it, I think that's great.
It's not great, but I want to be as reasonable as humanly possible about this sort of thing. I've given up on the idea of people doing the right thing for the right reasons.
Oh, right, yeah.
Shit ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
So let's start looking at realistic things. How are we gonna get some shit accomplished?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Where the fuck's my food truck? I want to get this thing accomplished.
Yeah, yeah. Shit, we need to talk about that.
See, yeah, no kidding.
We need to return around to the food truck.
We're gonna keep going back to the food truck thing. Yeah, shit. Kids, stop putting ketchup on your social media. That's what we're talking about.
All right, Brandon. Well, I think I think we have an idea.
Yep.
And we'll see if anyone picks it up.
They probably won't.
But they probably won't.
We'll see. I'm hoping after sitting on here and saying it over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah, maybe someone will listen.
Yeah.
I think I just need to wake up every morning and just shout into my phone, I'll pay for Facebook.
I'm a pay motherfucker.
Yeah. So eventually they bother to pay attention to me.
All right, cool. All right, man. Well, I've got to do more con prep because...
You've got a ton of fucking work to do.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
This is the thing I don't understand about all of the artists that I know. Procrastinate motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Every one of you. Is like, I've been up for the last 60 hours working on a book for SPX. It's like, do none of you fucks own a calendar?
Well, for me, it's not procrastination. It's I've been working all this other time.
Okay, fair enough. But like, maybe the issue is setting reasonable goals.
Yeah, probably.
Like, yeah, like, hey, if you're a month out, you probably shouldn't decide you want to make a thing for the show.
Yeah.
That's a next year thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think you all need, and maybe this is my new business, y'all need a no guy. You need somebody who you come up with an idea and you buzz them and you get like 5 minutes to elevator pitch it, and then you give them a budget and then you tell them how much you're going to sell it for and how many you think you're going to sell. And that person pauses a second and then says, yeah, okay, that sounds like a good idea, or no, get back to work.
Yeah. Well, we should put that in for next week.
Yep. Open up my services. You can PayPal me. I will call it $1 a call. We'll start small.
All right, man. Well, I got to run, but we'll check you next week. And
bye, kids.
Later.
Do the thing. Delete social media. That's right.
Or pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck it. I don't know what my point is. Delete social media. Fuck it. Damn the man. Fight the power.